This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories, NASA needs your help in designing a moon toilet. Data brokers are selling your mobile data to law enforcement with warrantless intrusion. Are you ready for a very, very busy screen on your Apple phone with iOS 14? And the PACT Act goes after Section 230. I want to welcome you to episode 1456 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, June 25th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the brand new listeners. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show. When you're over on the website, you'll be able to subscribe really on any possible combination of podcast apps or devices. They're all there. Definitely check them out at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, check out all the great content on the website as well. You can always participate in our chat room at geeknews.chat or on our Discord channel. The Discord channel is linked up in the show notes of this show. And of course, you can always contact me via email. That's really the easiest thing to do. And it's geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com is my email address, or I'm on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can continue to follow at Facebook, and all my partner shows are linked at geeknewscentral.com, all over in the header of the website. Definitely check out all our partner shows. This show, of course, is the longest running continuous. It is the longest running continuous sponsored show by our good friends at GoDaddy. And of course, we want you to take advantage of the GoDaddy offers. These are all available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been here and supporting the show since June of 2005. We got a 30% off new product purchase. We got $499.coms on new or transferred domains. We've got $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain. We've got $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again with a free domain. And we have the free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All these are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Share these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. GoDaddy is the reason that I am largely able to still do what I do and here at geeknewscentral.com. And we definitely appreciate their ongoing support and hope that you'll continue to support them by buying products and services. And again, sharing these codes with your friends, family members, linking to this page via your Facebook or Twitter account, social media, Instagram, doesn't matter. It's a great way to support the podcast. So how's everybody doing? Did you notice something tonight? A greatly abbreviated intro. So we're going to try that for a while and see how it goes. So I'm excited about trying to tighten up the intro a little bit, getting into the guts so that we don't go over and over. For those of you that have been here for years, go for 3 or 4 minutes worth of stuff. So that's the plan here. Just to catch up on a little bit of what's going on, I've been really kind of immersed in learning a whole bunch of stuff that I never thought I would need to learn. And what it is my team at Blueberry is, and those of you that have worked in dev work at all, you're going to smile at this, but we've been on a waterfall system, agile, but waterfall for many, many years. And we've just grown to the point where we can't do that anymore. We want to still be agile, but we want to switch to a Scrum and Kanban. And so I've been learning about Scrum and Kanban and all the different methodologies, and we're pretty small, so we're working towards a kind of a modified Scrum type of system, and really excited to be switching to that. And I'm learning all about terms like backlog and user stories. And for those of you that have worked in that type of an environment before, you're smiling and nodding your head, but yeah, so you know, what we used to have, kind of like this loose project listings and, you know, plan as we went and trying to do sprints. And so now we're going to a hardcore process and having the ceremonies. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, it's really about trying to deliver more faster. And there's a great term that I love. It's called done. Sometimes you get stuff done. When you're done, you're really done. Some of our projects will never be done, but they seem to last a lifetime. And because software really is always being updated, but at least it can go into a process now that is more refined and my devs are more happy and stuff's pre-planned out, and give my CIO, let him breathe a little bit, because we've gotten too wide. We got to narrow the focus a little bit, and so that's what we're doing. So yeah, so if you want to learn something, there's some great courses out there on Scrum, on Kanban. I use Udemy. We used a system over there to basically, I did about 4 hours of introductory training and been reading on stuff, watching on Facebook, YouTube videos, you name it, and getting these terms and getting the whole team. Matter of fact, we sent the whole team through the training, so they're all talking the same language. So yeah, so we're making the transition from waterfall to a more Scrum/Kanban style of dev work, and I'm excited about it, and to keep us more organized. And be honest with you, I've lost a lot of hair over the years because it just never seemed we could deliver on time on stuff, and so this is good. At the same time, I headed to the gym, been in the gym twice, working off some stress, and I can tell just from being in gym a couple of days already that I've been like totally stressed, and things are still continuing to be crazy. But you know, one thing I've just, it, I don't know what it is, it goes in waves, kind of maybe like this COVID-19 stuff, and maybe it's because people that I put on 30-day vacations on Facebook are coming back, and I'm having to put them on another 30 days vacation. It just seems like there are really two camps. And I don't know if it falls on political lines or not, but there's the people that are still like hysterical, stay at home. And then there's the other people like, I'm done with this. I'm living life. I'm doing what I want to do. And then the whole mask, no mask thing. It's pretty... I'll be honest, here in Southern Michigan where I'm living, I haven't seen anybody with a mask in a week. I was in a grocery store, Home Depot, no one's wearing masks. So, you know, and I know in some places it's still, you know, everybody's supposed to be, but no one is. I think people have just had it. I think people are done. Done, I guess, with this. And so I don't know what to think. I really, really don't. But in my opinion, we have to continue living, but live safely. And still watch out for people that are risk. I'm right at that age. You know, I'm right at the edge of the risk group. So, you know, it's something that I don't take necessarily. I don't take it like I'm not like freaking out, but I'm just paying attention a little bit. And but still, one thing I did see in the store, I saw hand sanitizer for the first time, and it was nasty. They had a bottle of it, and it was made by some place that was making booze, and I smelt of it, and it reeked. It was, I'm like, if I put that on my hands, it'll force me to go wash my hands again, because it just, well, one thing for sure, won't be touching my face with it, because I get my hand close to my face, and I'll smell the reek of that. That's what they need to do. Make the hand sanitizer smell like skunk or something, right? That'll keep us from touching our face. But hey, Toby. Hey, Jim. Hi, Paul. How you doing? Welcome to the show. So that's really kind of what's going on here. I'm really, honestly, quite ready for the weekend. I'm starting to look forward to the weekends. It's just been... How about you guys? Is it the same? Are you, I imagine a lot of people are still not back to work, but I'm just, I keep thinking about vacation and I can't do anything. There's no place to go. So I was thinking about going out in the woods. My grandfather has, or not my grandfather, but my family's property, the land, the compound. We have 80 acres of woods, but the mosquitoes are just horrible. So I was thinking about going out, and I don't know why. I guess I've been watching too many survival YouTube stuff, people doing stuff in Alaska and, you know, building places in the UP. And I'm following a bunch of YouTube. I'm just watching all kinds of crazy YouTube stuff. And I've never been a real camper, but the idea of going out and get ate by, up by mosquitoes does not intrigue me. But I don't know. I'm feeling like we got this 80-acre lot. There's a couple of places that are really beautiful in there that would make a fantastic camp area. So I'm thinking about making a camp, per se. But I'm thinking maybe that's better for the fall when the mosquitoes aren't so bad. But then it's getting cold and you don't want to enjoy it anyway. I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. Maybe I'll go take a four-wheeler this weekend and go out and scout the area out. And I don't know. What is the key there, ladies and gentlemen, for getting rid of the not getting ate alive when you're trying to build something in the middle of the woods in the summer in the Michigan? I just don't think there is. I think they just eat you to death. It's just the way it is here this time of year. But anyway, just something I'm thinking about. I just got to do something. I got to stay productive. Just the way it is. And the weekend, I need to do something different. All right, so let's go ahead and get in the content. Got a good stack of stuff. I want to thank Kirk for getting the show around tonight. And yes, indeed, $35,000 is up to grabs if you help design the future moon toilet. NASA's Project Artemis will see the first woman and next man on the moon. It's an ambitious timeline. Of course, maybe if we have a different president, maybe that'll end. But that requires a huge amount of preparation, includes quite a few not so beep beep elements of space travel, such as toilets. You know, astronauts got to poop. That's just kind of the way it is. Even the ladies have to go poop too, even though they don't admit that they do. But those are some challenging circumstances when it is when you're weightlessness. If you think about it here for a second, now I don't want to get too grossed out on the channel. Are on the podcast today, but if you're not fibered up, this could be extremely circumstantial. So NASA's crowdsourcing ideas that will make things easier to suck up the poo. Space toilets do already exist at the International Space Station, and they're just a big suction cup, is what they really are. NASA, and if you've not watched a YouTube video on that, please do. But NASA wants something that's smaller, more efficient, and works both in microgravity and on the lunar gravity. And I don't know what lunar gravity is equal to, but current space toilets are designed for microgravity, aka weightlessness. Lunar gravity is approximately, 1/6 of Earth's gravity. Oh, so stuff will fall down slowly, which brings its own supposed challenges here. So if you are in, and you know, hey, Jim, this is your next thing, man. Jim McKay that's watching, you can design and put your scientist hat on and submit a contest idea for the new toilet. And I think only a sailor could probably come up with something really crazy. So you might be the guy to do that. Now, there's a fairly extensive list of technical requirements sought after. And anyway, so the link will be in the show notes. Definitely check that out. So if you want a shot at $35,000, seems like it would be more, right? If you're designing a toilet, seems like it could be, you'd get a little more. After all, what does hammers cost that they're going to send to the International Space Station or to the lunar surface? Congress is investigating how data brokers sell smartphone tracking info to law enforcement. The House Committee on Oversight and Reform sent a letter to Ventel's CEO. And basically, in a letter to Ventel, Representative Carolyn Maloney, Democrat of New York, Representative Mark D. Soliner, Democrat of California, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Massachusetts, and Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, wrote that they're looking to whether the data collected can reveal precise movements of millions of Americans, including children. They say, we seek information about your company's provision to consumer location data to federal government agency or law enforcement purposes without a warrant and for any other purposes, including in the connection with the response to the coronavirus. The letter states, adding that since the vast majority of Americans have cell phones that carry around constantly, such location tracking raises serious privacy implications and security concerns. And you've all, if you've been exploring your phones lately, know that both your iPhone and your Android now have the coronavirus tracking code installed. You do know that, right? That is now on your phones. So there is plenty of videos out there on how to go in and look at that and turn that off. So maybe we can find one of those links for a future show to have in the show notes. But so anyway, they're asking questions about this group and what they're doing. I'm just telling you straight up. So much data is being collected. You have your Bluetooth on. You have your location data turned on. Apps that you go look at your phone right now while you're listening to the show. Go to the settings, go to your apps, and look at which apps have location data turned on. Go through those, and you may want to turn some of those off, because I guarantee you some of that data is not being used for good purposes. And as I reminded you again, go to Google. Right on the web, right in front of your computer, you can load to look. Go in and look at your Google location data tracking. If you haven't done this and you listened to this show, I'm telling you, go do that. If you've had location data turned on and it's been syncing with Google, you're gonna freak out. If you've never looked, if you've never took a look at that, and it's best to look at it when you're on a web browser on your computer, because then you get the scope. You can go back and look where you were 2 years ago if you haven't cleared this data, where you drove that day, where you stopped. I'm just telling you, there's so much data that's being collected against us. If you don't care, it's okay, but I'm just telling you, it's good to clear that data out from time to time if you are using those location services. Now, it's still on file. Google can still get it for a couple of years or share it with anybody if there's a warrant. But get that stuff off your profile, all right? So Jim says, hey, I was just awarded a patent with where he works. That's cool. He said, oh, a toilet. It's got to be better than what we had on the P3. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're referring to the toilet on the mighty P3 Orion. Let me tell you about this toilet. It's totally amazing. You have a toilet seat and you have a jerry can. What's a jerry can, you ask? A metal can, if you're lucky, underneath the toilet seat. And from in that toilet seat, you put a black plastic bag. If you're lucky to have black plastic bags, if not, you have a clear plastic garbage bag. Yes, that has been the case sometimes. A clear bag that you are doing your business in. And then when you're done doing your business, you tie that off. And the P3, usually at altitude, is pretty cold. You throw it down in the Doppler well. And if you're lucky, that's frozen by the time you land. But if you're flying somewhere warm, no, it goes out with the trash. But anyway, that's a whole nother story for a whole nother show. So yes, Jim, anything is better than the P3 toilet. And I'm using kind words there. So let us move on to more techie stuff instead of poo stuff. Hey, iOS 14 beta. I'm looking at this just if you're listening, just click in the show notes and go to this article and you just look at this homepage, this new homepage that Apple has set up. So to describe it to you, in the top, you got your weather. And then you've got about four cubes with, you know, 9 or 10 apps in each. And you got your clock and your calendar, and you've got maybe a news source on there. Long story short is your homepage is going to get very, very busy. And I've gotten pretty good at organizing my iPhone. And matter of fact, I put stuff into, I don't know what they call them, buckets before on the iPhone. And this seems like that's when when I lose the apps. I never know where they are anymore, because I can't remember if I put them under utilities or if I put them under create or audio visual or where I organized them. And I always have to search for the app. I don't think this is going to change for any of these phones, but at least you're going to be able to have more stuff on the home screen. I think I would just rather flip once or twice. Like, I've got banking on page 3. I've got travel stuff on page 2. I know where stuff is in my phone and how it's organized. I've got utilities on page 5. So, you know, I kind of got that memorized. I don't know if I'll do and organize my phone by having everything on, because it's just, for me, click, click, click. I can flip it real quick and I'm there. Or do the pull down and start writing the name of the app and it shows up. So, anyway, that is where I was going to say here. So anyway, that is what's ahead for us in iOS 14. You Android users, you know, you guys already been organized stuff for a long time. I don't normally, and Kirk found this over on the Washington Post. I don't hardly half the time anymore trust any mainstream news reporting website. And that's why I've covered tech all these years, because the tech sites don't get very political. But this article that Kirk found, Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota and the chair of the Senate Commerce Communications Subcommittee, and ranking member Brian Schatz, Democrat from Hawaii. I've got a story about Brian. Introduced legislation yesterday that aims to make major social media companies more transparent about content moderation on their services. The bill would require companies to remove posts and other activity that the courts determine illegal within 24 hours. Most of the time, this stuff gets pulled down anyway. Legislation known as the PACT Act is one of more nuanced proposals on Capitol Hill in the contentious debate over Section 230. Of course, that's the 1996 law that was in part of the, it was Section 230, part of the Communications Decency Act. And we know that both Republicans and Democrats are not happy about Section 230. And he says, Senator Schatz says, our approach is a scalpel rather than jackhammer. In my view, the best thing we can do for the internet and the law that allowed the internet to happen is to modify that law so it works for another 20 years rather than pretending it's perfect just as it is. Content moderation is now and probably will be for the next till at least November 4th will be the most contentious thing going on in the news. You have the president out there being loud, and you have Vice President Biden hanging out in his bunker. So you don't have to worry about Vice President Biden being censored because he's not saying anything. So, but the senators are hoping that this bill includes provisions that could appease both sides, which is no easy task considering they don't want to do anything together. And, you know, maybe sometimes that's a good thing, right? And it says, you know, Republicans accuse the tech companies of going overboard. Meanwhile, Democrats say social media companies aren't doing enough to curtail the spread of disinformation, hate speech, da-da-da-da-da-da. So one of very consistent consensus is that companies' policies are confusing and unevenly enforced. So It would encourage companies to share best content moderation practices with each other through a National Institute of Standards and Technology-led framework. Oh, I'm sure that's going to work. And again, it's one of many proposals that have been floated around in Washington, D.C. I'll be honest with you, I don't think they're going to be able to do anything. Everything that's going on there, you know, I don't think so. You know, tech companies have vigorously opposed any attempt to overhaul Section 230. Airbnb, Facebook blasted the bill in a statement saying by attaching counterproductive strings to Section 230, this bill would make it harder for online platforms to focus on removing harmful content and especially turbulent election system. We should enable platforms to remove harmful content, not weigh them down with unnecessary regulations. The senators consulted academics and consumer groups when crafting the legislation. A professor at the Boston University School of Law has long argued that Section 230 should not be a free pass, but rather contingent on companies engaging in reasonable content moderation practices. She said the legislation is a step in that direction. Now, remember, they're not supposed to moderate unless there are some provisions. It's all the thing about Section 230. It allows people to post stuff and make their comments, allow them to be heard without the company becoming a news source and moderating the news or putting labels on it. Jeff Kossoff, who wrote a book on Section 230 called The 26 Words That Created the Internet, said this bill addresses criticism from both parties of Section 230 to some extent. He says it's definitely not a huge change to 230 like some of the other proposals are, but we'll see where it goes. So again, it's election year. Nothing is going to happen. Hey, Tim. Tim Osterheld, welcome. Another Navy buddy that's on tonight. So Navy fans are on. Good. Thank you very much. Of course, we have someone from the Marine Corps representative as well that's on tonight. So another Tim. So hope everyone's doing well. Moving on here. Lawmakers propose. Now, what do you think about this? Lawmakers propose indefinite nationwide ban on police use of facial recognition. The proposed law would prevent police, both federal and local, from using facial recognition until Congress passes a bill lifting the ban. So on Thursday, Senator Ed Markey and Senator Jeff Merkel proposed a Facial Recognition and Biometric Technology Moratorium Act, which calls for a full stop to facial recognition used by the government. In the House of Representatives, the bill is backed by Representative Ayanna Pressley, a Massachusetts Democrat, and Representative Pramila Jayapal, a Democrat from the Washington state. The bill seeks to place a moratorium on the use of facial recognition. It also extends to any biometric surveillance systems beyond facial recognition, including voice recognition. The ACLU found on June 17th that Microsoft tried to sell voice recognition software to the Drug Enforcement Agency from September 2017 to September 2018. Facial recognition technology doesn't just pose a grave threat to our privacy. It physically endangers Black Americans and minority populations in our country. Markey, a Democrat from Massachusetts, said in a statement, as we work to dismantle this systematic racism that permeates every part of our society, we can't ignore the harms that these technologies represent. So it's the thing we have to think about here. We've been talking about facial recognition on this show for a while. And we've been talking about the pros and cons of it on this show for a while for the general population at large. We've talked about facial recognition in airports. Facial recognition in Europe, specifically in the United Kingdom, is massive. Everyone is under surveillance in the United Kingdom. You walk outside your house, you're probably going to be on candid camera. So, what say you? It's interesting that it takes protest and rioting to have a bill introduced on facial recognition, but when we are worried about privacy in non-writing times, that it wouldn't even be considered. Several police departments across the United States use facial recognition for surveillance and investigations. And they have identified flaws with the software's ability to match people of color and women. Some say facial recognition is the perfect technology. Some say it automates discriminatory policing. You would think it would equalize it. But if the software is flawed to begin with, I don't know. So, of course, Amazon, Microsoft, and IBM have all announced that they would back out of facial recognition market, with Amazon implementing a one-year moratorium on selling the technology to police. But they're not the only ones. So I'm curious what you think. Yes, Rita, I was talking about facial recognition when I was on Ford Island. That was a long time ago. So we've been talking about Ford Island. We've been talking about facial recognition for a while. And, you know, when you go to, well, it's not really facial recognition, but when I was, had a military ID, well, I still have my retired ID, they flip that over and they scan that. There's a code on the back that they can scan at the security gate. And when that's scanned, your picture from that ID shows up on the scanner that they're using, and they match that picture with your face to make sure you have a real ID, that's not fake. And of course, people change over the years and they look a little different. And it also gives the ability, they run you through the database when they scan your ID to make sure that you're not restricted from driving on base for whatever reason. So getting into federal facilities here in the very near future is going to require, matter of fact, maybe they're going to push this because of COVID-19, but you all know about the gold star on your driver's license. In October of this year, I think they did push the deadline, but in order to fly and have a state ID with a gold star in it, that is proving that you are who you say you are. You've went through 3-4 forms of ID, birth certificate, you've shown a number of things to get that gold star on your driver's license, that basically you are who your ID says you are. So they're already doing stuff with IDs. We're already in the system with our faces already in the system. So I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to see what happens here over time. But again, people are reacting. And I doubt any of this will go any further. I doubt this will make it to the president's desk. I doubt it will get out of Congress. So they like to talk, but do very, very little. On a little more non-contentious article, according to Roadshow over at CNET, Tesla could make its own batteries and Target's new production center in California. I thought Tesla was leaving California. Documents from the city of Fremont show the electric car maker is ready to expand its small battery production operation. And they could expand it. According to publication, the facility would house 470 workers, with about 100 of them working various shifts to keep the operation online 24 hours a day. Right now, all of Tesla's cars feature batteries built at the company's Nevada-based Gigafactory through a partnership with Panasonic, LG Chem, and CATL. CATL also supplies batteries for Tesla in other parts of the world. So we'll see. There's some news also that Tesla has something big brewing for its postponed Battery Day event, now tentatively scheduled for September 15th. And this could be a cobalt-free battery and so-called million-mile battery that could be used in a vehicle like the Tesla Semi. So we'll see what happens here. Wouldn't it be cool if you get a battery tech that actually will drive a car a million miles? So you've heard about Windows 10, right? What is Windows 10? Well, Windows 10 was designed for the dual screen market. And things have changed a little bit, and Windows has made some updates to it. But here's what you need to know about Windows 10. And you can take the Windows 10 for a trial run right now. We know that Windows 10X is the new version of Windows 10 operating system. Again, it's aimed primarily at dual screen devices. Even though the focus is on dual screen, the operating system will also feature on single screen devices too. Again, it's going to have what's called containers. And Windows 10 will run on Windows 10 apps and programs just like regular Windows 10. In addition, the apps will run in individual container environment, meaning they're isolated as part of the operating system. The app isolation should help stability, reduce the chance of random crashes, and improve device security, quote unquote. It's going to have an action center for composing work, and it's going to have an improved Windows update mechanism. But again, you can install the emulator, and you can run Windows 10X emulator image. Link will be in the show notes on how to do that for you guys and gals that are Windows fans. I don't have time for any of that anymore. I really don't. I did find a program the other day that wouldn't run on a Mac. Had to have a PC. That's the first time I've run into that in a while. Verizon's 5G home broadband gets speed coverage boost in Houston. So the benefits already been rolled out in most of Verizon's other 5G home cities. So what's going on there? The home offering in Houston is going to cover more people and offer a speed boost. Houston has been part of an early 5G city, but they're upgrading the tech. And that's what's going on there. So no 5G here out in the boondocks. Facebook is now going to tell you when you're about to share an old news story. You'll see a notification when you're linked to something more than 90 days old. I've run into that for this show a few times. We pulled an article, thought it was new and it was old. Randomly it's happened over the years. But now they're just going to let you know that you're about ready to post something that's old. And why is that? Because people keep pulling stuff from a couple months ago during COVID-19 and posting it as new news. I see a lot of posts that refer to some stuff that was talked about masks early on in the pandemic, and they're trying to make a point about masks, and it's actually something that was run a long time ago. It's not new news. I'm almost sure this is why they're doing that, to give people notice that, hey, you're not running something new, you're running something old. And they'll probably start putting a warning on it as well. Hey, if you're watching live today, make sure you check in and say hello. We got a lot of people on Facebook Live. Make sure you just say hi. Hi, Todd. How you doing? Thanks for being here. Same thing for anyone that's on YouTube. Reed, I see you had checked in over there as well. So thanks for checking in over there. Appreciate it. Safari is going to use Face ID and Touch ID for frictionless web sign-ins. Now, do you guys remember? We've talked about some of this already on, they're making it easier to log into stuff using Face ID and Touch ID for frictionless web sign-ins. You're not going to have to enter a password anymore. You do understand that you can be compelled to unlock your phone with your face, right? You can be compelled to unlock your phone with your fingerprint. But you cannot be compelled to unlock your phone with a password. Do you remember that, right? So what happens now when Safari will use Face ID to log you into your email account? Is that it? And let's say you get rolled up, all right? Let's something you're doing something nefarious. We're just using plain devil's advocate here. And they say, and you've logged out of your mail, and you've logged out of your apps, and you're rolled up, and they've got your phone, and they got you, and they face unlock it, and they go to your, say, well, we need to see your email, and you say no. Well, they load up Safari, and they get to your Gmail account, and they bring your face up and unlock your Gmail with your face or your finger. What do you think about that? Now, if you're not doing anything nefarious, this is a great technology. So what say you? You think this is cool? The approach is built on the familiar web authentication framework from the FIDO2 spec. I always love it when I read the word FIDO. Reminds me of the FIDO BBS days. Of course, you're going to have to wait until the release of the operating system this fall before you can make use of these features. Face and finger-based logins. It makes you wonder, all this automation. Now, Discord, and I'll be honest with you, this is the first time I've ever heard this term, so please, I don't want to get a bunch of hate mail, but Discord has shut down a major, what they're calling Boogaloo? B-O-O-G-A-L-O? Is that how you pronounce that? Boogaloo? They shut down a Boogaloo server over threats of violence. That's the first I've ever heard of that term. Maybe I heard it somewhere once before, but I really didn't put 2 + 2 together. It's concerned that chats are inciting real-world attacks. Discord is joining the ranks of social internet companies cracking down on Boogaloo groups. The chat service has confirmed to Vice News that it shut down one of the largest servers devoted to the group, Citizens of Liberty. Now, I did hear of Citizens of Liberty already. After determining, these are one of these groups that are out there raising Cain right now. After determining that the server violated policies against threatening and encouraging violence, Discord also leaked the accounts of all 2,258 members and rejected attempts by members to reverse the decision. The move came shortly after Vice report that members, now check this out, this is serious. The move came shortly after Vice report that members, including some claiming to be active military personnel, were hoping to exploit protests against police brutality to spark the Boogaloo, which is a new U.S. civil war. So I'm learning stuff here. I didn't know that was their goal. While the membership is complex and includes everyone from libertarians to internet trolls, there have also been anti-government extremists who've been charged with shooting at federal officers and planning to bomb protests. Members of the COL, I don't know what that is, were told to avoid using the term in chats to avoid tripping off law enforcement. Oh, so. Anyway, this is, I have no idea what this is about, but anyway, Discord shut that down. I have to do some research, I guess. Yeah, FidoNet. Yes, I miss my FidoNet. 6:07:104, I think it was. Comcast, Mozilla strike privacy deal to encrypt DNS lookups in Firefox. So this Comcast Mozilla deal comes after a dispute over ISP snooping and DNS encryption. So Comcast is partnering with Mozilla to deploy encrypted DNS lookups on the Firefox browser. Now, I think Chrome is now doing this, and I think that's part of the reason why I've seen a slowdown in site lookups on Chrome is because they went to this encrypted DNS. So Comcast version of DNS over HTTPS will be turned on by default for Firefox users on Comcast Broadband Network. And Comcast is the first ISP to join Firefox Trusted Recursive Resolver program. Mozilla said an announcement today that Cloudflare and NextDNS were already in Mozilla program, which required encrypted DNS providers to meet privacy and transparency criteria. So that's cool. Jim, I don't even know what that reference is. I don't even know if I want to ask in chat. Okay, Jim made a comment. I'm not following you. Be good, Jim. Be good in chat. So Comcast Mozilla's in encrypted DNS. I like this encrypted DNS. Hey, have you heard about Hey Email? Hey has opened its email service. And that's not like Hey for Horses, that's H-E-Y. Hey has opened its email services to everyone as Apple approves its app for good. It's a $99 per year email app, supposed to be like super, 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 super secure. And The app's version update is available, offering a free, a temporary 14-day burner Hey account with randomized addresses for iOS users, making the apps functional by Apple's definition when it's downloaded. Let's see here. Unlike other email apps like Superhuman, which are effective extra layers on top of an existing Gmail account, Hey is a completely new email service offering features like contact screening and advanced sorting options. So anyway, he's got some mixed reviews. So user caution there. Well, what do you think about an electric truck? Meet the Lordstown Endurance, a new $52,500 electric work truck. The reveal was live streamed from Ohio, and it's pretty slick looking pickup truck, I guess. And it's not a Ford F-350, that's for sure, or an F-250 or 150. But anyway, Lordstown Endurance is a new electric vehicle, and it goes into production next year in Lordstown, Ohio, at a former General Motors factory. And unlike the ones coming from Tesla and Rivian, this one is aimed squarely at the commercial and fleet market. So, you know what I've been thinking about? And to be honest with you, I'm just thinking about it. I need a beater. I need a beater vehicle down on my on the farm. And what is it with pickup trucks and their value? And I'm like looking at like 2,000 beat up trucks that would just be a farm truck, and people are still asking like $5,000 for a beat up farm truck. What is the story on that? I just need a beater pickup truck. Nothing I'm going to drive, something just, you know, use around the farm. It's ridiculous how expensive some of these pickup trucks are. I did not realize how much trucks are holding their value. It's crazy. It really, really is. And you want to be able to tow something not far, you know, 25, 30, 40, maybe 50 miles max. And something that, you know, is going to get me there and get me back, but not going to, you know, I just, again, a weekend runner maybe. I guess I just got to keep looking. I'll find a beater somewhere. But yeah, it's crazy what these used pickup trucks are selling for, especially if you want something that's, you know, that can actually pull, you know, a couple ton. It's ridiculous. Cadillac will unveil its electric SUV, Lyriq, L-Y-R-I-Q, on August 6th. It'll be the first EV to feature GM's new modular electric architecture. So this new Cadillac will come out for those of you that like the Cadillac brand. I'm kind of burnt on electric vehicles right now just because the range. And Hawaii is fine, but it's just, you know, you want to go 200-300 miles, you need significant battery. Apple is reclosing almost all remaining Florida retail stores over COVID-19 spikes. 10% of its 272 U.S. stores are temporarily closed. So Apple's closing all Florida stores again. Oh, only two remain in option. One in Jacksonville, another in Sarasota. So my buddy's down in Jacksonville, you still can get to the Apple store. So they've reclosed those stores out of an abundance of safety. This is an overseas deal, and I wasn't familiar with this company at all. This happened in Germany. Reuters is reporting that Wirecard is a company that collapsed on Thursday, owing creditors almost $4 billion auditing fraud. This is big. The payments company filed for insolvency at a Munich court, saying that 1.3 billion euros, 1.5 billion of loans due within a week is a growing concern, was not assured. Wirecard's implosion came just 7 days after EY, its auditor for more than a decade, refused to sign off on the 2019 accounts, forcing chief executive Marcus Braun and leading it to admit that 2.1 billion of its cash probably didn't exist. How this dude is probably going to go to jail for a long time. How can you hide missing $2.1 billion. They say there are clear indications that this was an elaborate and sophisticated fraud involving multiple parties around the world. You think? EY said, well, it was completing a 2019 audit. It was provided with false confirmations with regard to escrow accounts and reported them to the relevant authorities. The financial technology company is the first member of Germany's prestigious DAX stock index to go bust, barely 2 years after winning a spot among the country's top 30 listed companies with a market valuation of $28 billion. Gone. Ripped off. Lost. Stolen. So, of course, you know, this is a big black eye for Germany. The Wirecard case damages corporate Germany. It should be a wake-up call for reforms, says Volker Potthoff, chairman of the corporate governance think tank Ermid. Creditors have scant hope of getting back the 3.5 billion euros they're owed. Sources familiar with the matter said on that total, Wirecard has borrowed 1.75 billion from 15 banks and issued $500 million in bonds. The banker said the money is gone. We may recoup a few euros in a couple of years, but we will write off the loan now. The collapse of Wirecard, one of the hottest fintech companies in Europe, dwarfs other German corporate failures. It has shaken the country's financial establishment, with Felix Huffeld, head of the regulator at BaFin, calling it a total disaster. So, anyway, if you follow this, big money gone. Someone's going to jail. Jim says official drink. Oh, I'm not going to read that out loud on the show. Oh, Jim says you had a bunch of these people gathering about a mile from the house. Wow. That's interesting. We're going to have a beer over that someday. Google Photos, and you'll have to go to the Facebook account and read the chat notes. Google Photos gets a map view as part of a big new design, plus more features designed to help you rediscover old photos. Now, this could be interesting. So, you know, every photo you take on your phone has got a GPS mark on it, right? It knows where that picture was taken. You do realize that, right? That is embedded in the picture. Well, now, if you look at a map, it's going to show you some pictures of the area that you took pictures. So if you're around your house or at your work or wherever else, you know, Google is all knowing. And they're going to remind you that you have pictures in and around areas that, you know, you walk up to on your map. It's going to say, hey, here's some pictures that you took 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And it's going to give you a pinwheel to better highlight your favorite old pictures. Google says also answer the top feature request. So in other words, people have actually requested this. They want a map view of your photos. So, the strange things we ask for these days. So they're not tracking you by location, they're tracking you by the photos you take. Lyft is settling with the Justice Department over a disability lawsuit. And this is one that kind of surprised me here. Naughty, naughty, naughty Lyft. Lyft has settled with the Justice Department, alleging the company discriminated against customers with disabilities. Now, drivers will be required to help fold and stow wheelchairs and walkers for customers. The rideshare company has also been ordered to educate its driver as well as pay complainants and a $40,000 civil penalty. The Justice Department began investigations after a complaint identified. The Justice Department began investigation after a complainant identified as J.H., who uses a collapsible wheelchair, reported discrimination from Los Angeles area Lyft drivers, according to a Justice Department statement. He filed 12 complaints with Lyft between 2015 and 2017 after drivers refused him rides, saying they either could not or would not accommodate his wheelchair. Three other complainants listed in the settlement reported similar experiences. So he's going to get $30,000. Now, you think about this. This is part of their deal. They have to give everyone a ride. You just can't give people that are completely mobile a ride. So good on the Justice Department for smacking Lyft down on this one. 100 million people watch YouTube on TVs each month, including me. I'm one of the 100 million. Are you surprised? YouTube's big screen audience is growing fast. It's because we all have smart home devices. We can just click through. I can have all my subscribed YouTube channels. I'm subscribing to more YouTube channels now because of my TV than my computer. I haven't added to my YouTube offerings in years. And I've been now just adding. I thought, that's a cool YouTube. Subscribe. So I'm watching more YouTube. I really am. It's fun to be able to pick some of that stuff out. I've got my favorites out there to watch as well. Volvo will use Waymo technology to power its self-driving cars. Waymo will be the sole partner for full autonomy as well for Volvo. So I had a Volvo. You guys remember I had a Volvo for years? Never own another Volvo. You know why? They are expensive to get repaired. It's probably the same thing with BMW and Mercedes. It must be. Amazon is forming a counterfeit crimes unit to tackle its fake goods problem. You think? It's amazing what you can find on Amazon. And they've been grappling with this problem for years. And they want to be more cooperative with law enforcement. You know what it is either you become more cooperative or we are going to sue you into oblivion. You just can't sell Gucci bags. You can't sell Chanel. You can't sell all this stuff that's fake, that's coming in from China and being basically put, you know, they send the bags over with no labels on them. And then they mark them up and do everything to make them look real. And then they sell them on Facebook and you get a fake bag or fake shoes or fake belt or what, you know, you might be cool. Hey, the thing when I was in the Navy, when we went to Thailand, this is back. Oh my God, this was in the 80s. So the first thing we did, is we went and got gold bot chains. And I don't know where my bot chain is. I have a bot chain somewhere. It's missing in action. It's probably lost forever. Full ounce of gold. So it's worth a lot. So it's been missing for years. But anyway, a bot chain. You went and got a bot chain. And then you went look for fake Rolexes. So all of us had, and some of them were really, really good, had the perpetual time. And, you know, within about a year, the gold started rubbing, you know, you could see the stainless steel below it. And, you know, so that, you know, it quick glance, you couldn't tell it was fake, the good ones. And you'd pay about $50, $60 for a fake Rolex back then. Now, I haven't been in Thailand in 20 years, but I'm sure the fakes are much, much better. So, you know, that was a thing you did when you were in the Navy. You went and got a fake Rolex and you went and got a bot chain when you were in Thailand. And then you went and drank Singha. So, oh, the stories I could tell, but won't. But anyway, moving on. Amazon, get those counterfeits off. Google will pay publishers for high quality news and absorb paywall costs. So the search giant said it will soon launch an all-news experience. Well, they've got the money, so why not? Why not do that? So far, Google has signed publishers in Australia, Germany, Brazil. This program will help participating publishers monetize their content through an enhanced storytelling experience that lets people go deeper into more complex stories, stay informed, and be exposed to a world of different issues and interests, Google Vice President Brad Bender wrote in a blog post. So probably this is the only way news sources is going to survive. The Star Advertiser in Honolulu, I think that's what they call it now, has laid off like 80% of its work staff. So, you know, they're going bust. Not that I'm surprised, but, you know, Google money may save a few of these folks. All right. The best podcast apps for Android in 2020. I've got a great article here. I'm a big fan of Pocket Cast. I like Pocket Cast a lot. I am not a fan of Spotify for this show because Spotify, well, let me explain what's going on. Spotify is spending a lot of money. They signed Joe Rogan. I don't care that they signed the Kardashians. That's whatever. They're spending money like crazy to lock in some content. But at some point, if you're going to be listening to Geek News Central on Spotify, they're going to run an ad at the front of my show, especially if you're using Spotify for free. And I want you guys to try, you know, and some of you may love Spotify. I hope that you don't listen to this show on Spotify. I hope you listen to this show on Pocket Cast or Google Podcast or Apple Podcast or Pocket Cast. Those are great ones. Another one I don't like CastBox. I don't like that app at all. Stitcher's in trouble. They're trying to sell Stitcher right now. Stitcher's been sold by the, and I know that team. So if they're trying to get rid of that, that means it's a pig. It's a money pig. If the company that owns it, which I know that team well that owns that, if they're trying to get rid of that, that means, and Stitcher used to be really, really popular. It used to have like 6-7% of the market space. But again, if you're going to listen to the show, I know you all have your favorite apps. I think there's like 5 of you that listen to the show on Spotify, so I really don't have to promote that. But the younger crowd loves Spotify, so maybe that's saying something about this audience, but maybe we're all getting old together. But Pocket Cast is a good one. Overcast is another good one for iOS. So what are you guys using to listen to this? Well, I know. Rita said, my Westpac consisted of PI and Guam. Yeah, I did 7 years in Guam. Hafadai. By the way, hafadai.com is for sale. I own that. good old Philippines. Moving on. So anyway, yeah. So what browser are you guys, what's your favorite? I know because I see it in the stats, but you know, let me know what you like about your apps and why. Safari is joining browsers that tell you who's trying to track you. It's part of a larger pushback and the intrusive practice that follows you across the internet. You know, I follow what's going on with tag and tagging and all this stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's coming down that is going to, because of what the browsers have done, is really affecting the advertising space a lot more than they want to admit. So it's a good thing what the browsers are doing to stop these trackers from tracking so much. Also, Opera has baked Twitter into its desktop browser. You can add it to next to the likes of Instagram in the sidebar as well. It's being reported that Google might face a class action lawsuit due to Pixel 3 hardware defects. The law firm is currently asking Pixel 3 owners to share their problems, experience, and investigating whether or not the defects are hardware related. So if you've got a Pixel 3 that's got issues, this article will be of interest to you. And finally tonight, best rugged phones you won't be ashamed to be seen with. So if you work construction, you drop your phones, you're rough and tough. These are some phones you want to look at. And some covers and actual phones that are pretty tough as well. So the link will be up in the show notes for that. I did have, I think, one or two emails that came in. And I got an email from, hey, Jim, thank you for sharing condolences on the loss of the Navy skipper. They're going to be having a live streamed event. They're not allowing people to go. So thank you for that. I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for the kind words. And I got an email from Rob, and he talks about the insomnia that I had. And this is interesting. So I don't know if I should, if you know, I guess I'm boring, but he said, hey, Todd, I heard one of your podcasts. You're talking about having a bad night's sleep. He says, I've lived with this for years. Usually I just can't seem to turn off my brain. And that's what happened to me a week ago. One thing I've done is listen to music podcasts or radio stations very quietly with one earbud and my iPhone. That is to say, I often listen to you to help me to fall asleep. now, before you think that this means you're boring me to death, that's not the case. Okay, everything you see, okay, that's good. That's good, Rob. He said, I think what happens, instead of thinking about my day, the next day, and every other issue I'm dealing with, I have to focus on one thing. It works. Even if it doesn't help me right away, it helps me just to rest. If I had nothing to listen to, then I would get more and more frustrated, which does not help when I'm trying to fall asleep. Listening to the same podcast more than once is even better, as new information is often too stimulating. Older info just makes it easier to relax. Now, as an aside, as I typed this, an ad popped up in my sidebar about sleep aids. Go figure. Rob out of Blind River, Ontario, Canada. You know, how is it over in Ontario, Rob? How's it going now? How you guys doing over there? I'd love to hear on that. And that's one thing you guys can do also. When you send your emails, let us know how it's going in your area, what's happening with the with COVID and everything else. See, did I have anyone else? I think that was it. That was the two emails that came in. I'm just going to give everyone a little bit of a admission. You ever heard about counting sheep, right? In the past, when I have absolute hardcore insomnia, I have been able to put myself out in about 10 minutes by actually counting sheep. And it really, and if you count down, it even works better. 100 sheep left, one jumped over the wall. 99 sheep left, one jumped over the wall. And do that. If you do that, now, if you make it all the way through, if you make it all the way through and start on the next go-round, you might have a problem. Because I've actually used it, but the other night, there was just no way. It just didn't work. So, you know, people say count sheep, you know, it's crazy, but it has worked for me in the past. There must be something to it, but listening to a podcast, well, I would have to re-listen to podcasts because, like, some podcasts I get listened to, it's like listening to Art Bell when Art Bell was on. Oh, my God. Thank God I was in Hawaii listening to Art Bell, because if I'd have been in the States listening to Art Bell, I'd been up to 3 o'clock in the morning every night listening to that guy. Because it's too compelling. You don't want to go. Can't miss anything. All right, everyone. Thanks. Appreciate you being here. GeekNews@gmail.com. GeekNews@gmail.com. Please consider becoming an insider at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Your one-time contributions are also very appreciated. Thank you very much. And I'll be back with you on Monday. Don't see anything. Now, let's look at the calendar here, because the 4th of July is fast approaching. So there will be a show on... Yeah, so we're going to have two shows next week. So the 29th is Monday. The 2nd is Tuesday. Then I think they're celebrating the national holiday on Friday the 3rd. So more than likely there will be a show on Thursday. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go through this again. Yes, I was looking at the calendar wrong. So yes, on 29th and on the 2nd, there will be a show next week. So looks like we're just continuing to fast charge forward. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the podcast. Those of you been on Facebook, thank you so much for being on the show, watching the show. Being on the show, watching the show tonight. Those of you listening, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. We're going to take care. Bye-bye.